Because it's the first and third Thursday of every month, we have Dr. Arnie Buss. Now, he received his undergraduate degree in psychology at Rutgers University and a PhD from Cornell University. Now, he's been teaching at the undergraduate and graduate level for over 30 years. His passion is facilitating and teaching classes about interpersonal communication. He works with individuals and couples to resolve their interpersonal communication issues. And in the past 7 years, he's given presentations on interpersonal communication skills to a number of organizations in the Monterey area. He's also a distinguished Toastmaster, and in 2011, he was a semifinalist in the Toastmasters World Championship of Public Speaking. Now, he joins us with his segment, Speaking of Listening, on the first and third Thursdays of every month. And let's listen to Dr. Arnie Buss and Speaking of Listening.
Well, thank you, Solazar, and I'm your host, Arnie Buss, for Speaking of Listening, coming to you every first and third Thursday right here on Good Vibrations Radio. Speaking of Listening is all about ways of improving your relationships by listening from your heart. And you can contact me for more information about my workshops, about presentations. My email is ahbuss@consciousawareheart.com. That's A-H-B-U-S-S at consciousawareheart.com. And I always like to remind that listening is not just about hearing what the words the other person is saying. It's about much more. It's about engaging them in a dialogue and really getting to the root of what is going on. And I'm going to talk a bit about that in today's segment. But before I begin, I saw a meme that a friend of mine posted on Facebook, and I thought I would share that. It says, a messenger can only deliver a message to someone who is a vibrational match to the message, so don't wear yourself out saying things to people who can't hear you. And that is so wise, because communication is all about being in the same vibrational frequency, as it were. Now, here's the thing, is that with speaking of listening, and specifically with tracking that I'm going to talk about today, that's about turning this around. It's about, as a listener, matching the vibrational energy of the other person, regardless of whether or not you happen to be there or not. Because as a listener, you have a choice. If you're a speaker, as the saying went, if you try to deliver a message to someone who simply isn't there to hear it, isn't willing to hear it, again, vibrational match, meaning that they're just not going to be open to it, then you're opening yourself up to frustration. However, as a listener, you have a choice. As a listener, if you hear something that doesn't match where your energy is, you have the choice of changing yours to match the energy of the speaker. And that allows the communication to happen. In other words, if you're on the same vibrational frequency, then that's how information gets transmitted. That's how a dialogue occurs. That's how a heart-to-heart connection happens. So today I'm going to talk about when to track, and I'm going to delve into decoding the hidden message that arises when tracking is what is indicated. I'm going to talk a little bit about a couple of key operative words, and then talk about one of the most powerful but challenging aspects to tracking, namely the gentle challenge. And this is something that it's a little bit advanced because it's so easy to go off the rails with it. But it's so important that I'm going to talk about it anyway. And since you all have been listening to my segments religiously for the past few months, then you've all become experts at this. So that I know that I'm speaking to someone that is you, the listener, who's going to be understanding and following along. So if you remember, tracking is a specific form of listening in which you keep yourself in your aware heart, in which you never make the other person wrong. You never make anyone wrong. You never make yourself wrong. Now, most conversations are just kind of not trackable types of things. In other words, a lot of times you'll just be sort of talking and just sharing information. You know, hey, you know, it was kind of cold today. Well, you know, that's nothing to track there. It's just information. Or hey, you know, how about those 49ers? How about them? Again, that's not a lot going on there, unless you hear some emotion on that. So the first thing is to track when the other person indicates that they have a problem. And you don't have to know what the problem is, but if you really pay attention, then you will hear when there's a problem. Like your spouse your partner may come home and say, "Can you believe what Joe did at work today?" Well, that's a clue that there's a problem. Now, they haven't said what that problem is yet, and I'll address how you might get that information out without having the person feel like they're being interrogated. Another time when tracking is a good response is when the person sends an unclear message. And a lot of times that's kind of a nonverbal type of cue. You know, for example, you know, how are things going? You know, they're okay. Well, again, I can't show body language across the radio, but hopefully you heard in my words, in the tone of my voice, that maybe something wasn't okay. This works wonders with the typical silent teenager, you know, or maybe the silent grunting spouse. You know, how was work? Fine. What did you do in school today? Nothing. Well, the thing is that notice that those, when you're asking questions, you're clearly kind of, the questions in a problem area tend to make the other person feel like they're being interrogated, and with teenagers, that's a big thing. I mean, if you've ever been a parent of a teenager, or if you're a parent of a teenager right now, it may be confusing to you that your teenager can be yakking away with their friends and texting and Facebooking and all the other things that they do, and then when you try to engage them in a conversation, you just get grunts and one-word responses. Well, so clearly, it's not that they can't communicate. It's that there's something going on, and tracking is just a wonderfully powerful way of breaking through that barrier and opening up a dialogue with that reluctant person. Track when you hear feelings being expressed. Whenever feelings are expressed, and you know, if you hear somebody say, you know, oh, it really hurt when I heard Shirley say this and such. Well, again, that's something that you want to track. Or track when you hear criticism, whether it's of you or someone else. You know, my boss is such a jerk. Okay, well, that's a very trackable statement. Again, what, something happened? You don't know what happened. It's going to take a dialogue to find out what's happening. And so what we often do instead, though, is, well, for example, if somebody indicates that there's a problem, we might just kind of ignore it, you know, just make it go away. Or offer sympathy instead of empathy. You know, now what's the difference with sympathy? It's like, you know, you're, oh you poor thing, oh that you know, they're, you're just really, you know, terrible, or they're really terrible, you know, you play ain't they awful, aren't they terrible people, or isn't that a terrible person to say that to you. Again, that you know, they may kind of like hearing that, because it might make them feel, you know, validated in some superficial way, but ultimately that's not a very effective way of getting at what's really underneath that. Or when you hear an unclear message, you may think you know what the other person means. So you might say, oh, I understand. Well, I recommend avoiding the phrase, I understand, because usually when you say, I understand, you don't understand a thing. Or you might interrogate and start asking questions. Again, that interrogation dynamic comes up when, like for teenagers, or even if you have a spouse or a partner who is reluctant to just start talking. If you start interrogating them, then that just shuts them down more. Sometimes when we hear feelings expressed, we judge them, we make them wrong, or, you know, oh, you shouldn't feel that way. You know, that's a feeling, you know, when we feel something, we feel something. So the feelings are always right. Feelings are always true for the person feeling them. Or again, we can offer them sympathy instead of empathy. Oh, you poor thing. And one that's right up there with I understand, to say, oh, I know just how you feel. You don't know how I feel. How could you know how I feel? Or when we hear criticism. Now, that's the, if we hear criticism about ourselves, you know, we tend to defend or justify or explain. What do you mean? I didn't do that. I didn't say that. I didn't mean that. Or we take it on and play the victim. Oh, you know, you're right. I'm such a terrible person. Or we might, if they're criticizing someone else, again, we play ain't they awful with them. So that's what we do instead. And what I'm advocating here is to track instead of that. Now, the thing is that when this happens, there is a hidden message there. Now, most information-only statements are usually pretty clear. Like, you know, hey, it rained today, but it's clear now. Oh, it's kind of cold, or it's getting dark kind of early. I really love it when it gets dark at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, said nobody ever. But the thing is that if you're just simply sharing information, then as long as, you know, usually that goes pretty well. There are no feelings involved, there's no angst going on, and so there's usually no need to track. So, you know, it's not that I'm saying you should track everything. I'm saying here in some of these situations that I described are very good fodder for tracking. Now, the thing is that in a lot of cases that I've mentioned about when to track, the message is typically not in the words, but is a hidden message. It's like it's encoded. And, you know, that can be any, in fact, a lot of times the words themselves are the opposite of what the message is. You know, how are you? How was it? Oh, fine. Again, fine. Oh, it was fine. Great. Well, it wasn't fine. And how did you know it wasn't fine? Because of the tone of voice there. Again, the nonverbal cues. You can see this in their body language as well. Again, I can't show that to you on the radio. You'll have to come to my seminars to see more illustration of that. So what tracking does is tracking decodes that hidden message. And it does a number of other things. First of all, it helps you, the listener, understand what that message is, what the intent of the message was. And a lot of times that intent is not clear, which is what led to the tracking in the first place. You know, so for example, you know, can you believe what Joe did at work today? Well, okay, something happened there, and you don't know what it is, but you know that something did happen. And so tracking that would of course lead to a dialogue and uncovering more information about it. So you would say, I might say something. So something happened with Joe that upset you, or something that happened that wasn't okay. Again, I prefer not to ask questions, because in a problem area, a question often feels like you're interrogating the person. And so you notice that I took the questions and turned them into more questioning statements. So I didn't even state it as a question in tone. I didn't use any up talk at the end. In fact, did the opposite and used down talk. You know, so something happened that disturbed you. Instead of saying, well, what happened? Now, the other thing that it does is that it can also sometimes help the speaker get clarity about what's really bothering them. And some, you know, many times they somebody knows something's bothering them and they say something, but they really haven't gotten to the bottom of what it is. And with tracking, you can help facilitate them to do that. Again, you don't want to be acting like you're a therapist or anything like that. Again, this isn't therapy, but it can be therapeutic to just have somebody listen to you and really get you. And the process of tracking helps convey the message that you're really there for that person, and there with a capital T, you know, not just physically there, but you're there emotionally, you're there, with the same kind of vibration that's going on. I'll talk a little bit more about energy in a little bit. So you can help the other person just get clear about what was bothering them, and not to have an agenda, not to have that as an agenda. This is kind of a side benefit. And it's not mind reading. Now, mind reading is when you can sort of get, can you believe what happened with Joe? Oh, so Joe did thus and such. Well, you don't know. You don't know what happened. So don't guess at what the hidden message is, but draw it out slowly, one step at a time, by carefully attending to the cues that indicate the next step. See, with an effective tracking statement, what you're doing is you're kind of walking along with that person, but you're helping them take the next step, and you're facilitating them in exploring what's going on in such a way that makes them feel safe. So attend to the cues that indicate the next step, and just as a rule of thumb, when you hear feelings, you know, definitely track feelings, but when you hear a feeling, it's usually good, or you hear implied feeling, it's usually good to respond with the gentlest version of it and let the speaker correct it for you. So I might say, you know, something like, so something happened that troubled you. And you say, troubled me? I was furious. Okay, so now you notice that by saying troubled you, again, that was lower energy impact than what they were expressing, but it was close enough that they corrected it. And if you're close enough, they're gonna correct it either up or down. So I was furious. You know, so then it was totally unacceptable to you. And then when you hear their energy increase, then you want to match that energy increase. Again, that's getting back to that idea of matching their vibration. Now, it's also useful to listen for the operative words. And two of the most popular operative words are the words always and never. Now, the thing to understand about these words is like many, many of the other words that we use, these are not to be taken literally. So when I say, you know, you're, when I hear, you know, you're always late, they're not saying, you know, they're not literally saying that I'm always late, or you never do this. It's usually not the case that it's not literally true. These words are typically used to indicate emphasis. So don't take them literally, and don't get into a no-win argument. You know, because if somebody says you're always late and you've been on time one time, then you are, quote, right. You're right. It is not true that you're always late. All it takes is one. But that's not what the message is. When they say you're always late, they're saying that I am being late more often than they feel comfortable with. And it could be only one or two times, but that's too many times for them. And so they're saying always as a way of emphasizing it and emphasizing how important it is. And that's also an indication that they've been bottling this up and just letting it out in one big swoop. So instead, you track what is the message when I'm always late, instead of saying, well, you know, I was on time last week. Well, that's not going to get you anywhere. There you're trying to contradict them. You're trying to make yourself right. Instead, you might say something like, you know, so this has been going on for much more than you wanted comfortable, that is comfortable for you, and you want it to change. You know, you want to be assured that appointments will be kept on time, you know, something like that. Or, you know, You know, you never take me anywhere. Says, what do you mean I never take you anywhere? You know, we had date night just, two Saturdays ago. What do you mean never? Well, again, it's not the literal never. It's that it hasn't happened as often as they would like. So instead, you could say, so you want to spend more quality time going out together. Okay, and that finally leads me to the gentle challenge. And the gentle challenge is something that I will be talking about more in upcoming segments. But this is extremely useful, especially when a speaker gets stuck or when the speaker keeps circling around to the same point. And the operative word in a gentle challenge is the word gentle, not challenge. Now, the challenge part comes in when you are hearing some contradictory views or contradictory messages that the speaker is expressing. And the idea is you want to kind of hold them up and let them see that without making them wrong. And that without making them wrong is the key piece. So for example, if somebody has been complaining about something that's, if they're complaining about something that's been going on a long time, and maybe in your mind you're thinking, well, why haven't you brought this up? Why haven't you done something to correct this? Well, that's usually not very effective, because the hidden message of that is, well, you know, what are you, some kind of idiot? And of course, we don't want to send a message like that. The operative word is gentle. And so what you want to do is just kind of hold those up. And yet, in a way that doesn't make them wrong. So you might say, so you're okay if that continues, or so you feel you have no choice but to allow that to continue. Or, you know, it might be something, so you're going to find it hard to confront your boss about this. Or something like, so you've tried everything and you feel nothing has worked. Or it might be something, so you're convinced that nothing can be done. Again, all of these are gentle challenges. The challenge part comes in is because they're sending contradictory messages. On the one hand, so, well, that's, I believe that's time
no,
to
no,
wrap
that
up.
Was an error. Please go. You've got time.
Okay, yeah. Anyway, well, I'm almost done here, because I've talked about when to track and decoding the hidden message. I've talked about some operative words that can help you decode that message, and how to decode those operative words instead of getting sucked into a no-win argument. And this very important gentle challenge, which is a way of helping somebody get unstuck. Again, if they keep circling, then the gentle challenge helps knock them out of that orbit a little bit. Again, you don't want to knock them out with a big hard rap, but it's just like you're holding a mirror up to what they're saying and say, can you see what you're saying here? Again, without shoving it in their face, gently holding it up to them. So, you have been listening to Speaking of Listening on Good Vibrations Radio. I've been your host, Arnie Buss. Thank you for joining me today. You can listen to Speaking of Listening every first and third Thursdays at 5:35 right here on Good Vibrations Radio. To learn more about effective listening and much more on workshops, communication, and relationship building, you can email me at ahbuss@consciousawareheart.com. You can like me on Facebook at Aware Heart, one word, and follow me on Twitter at Effect5Com. That's Effect, the number 5, COMM. And until next time, remember, listen with your heart.
We want to thank Dr. Arnie Buss, and as he said, first and third Thursdays, Speaking of Listening, right here on Good Vibrations Radio.